Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Thank you to all of you who have been and who still are after all these years. We're now in our sixth year of the newsletter. It goes out every week on Sunday in the afternoon by email and gets you ready for the week ahead. Also, I hope you'll check out my blog, our blog, which is fairly new. It's only a little over a month old or so, and you can find that on the homepage at smallbusinessadvocate.com, or you can go directly to the blog at jimsblog.biz. And that's where you can find the good thing about the blog is it brings all the things that we've done recently right out on the front so you can get to it really easily, including the archives, including the articles, the most recent interviews I've done, all that's right there. And you can also subscribe using RSS, the really simple syndication technology. You can do that with the blog too. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. I'm excited about having a friend of mine that I've acquired over the last couple of years. He's probably a new friend of yours. His name is Robert Levin, and Robert is the editor-in-chief and publisher of the New York Enterprise Report, which is a fairly new magazine. And Robert started his career as a CPA, and he worked up, he decided to leave the tax consulting business and moved into other parts of the marketplace. And now he's founded and is running this new magazine. And I wanted him to talk to us about that whole process of getting a business like that started. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. And, you know, I said welcome back. You haven't been on the show before, but we've talked so many times, I feel like you have. And I know my audience is looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Robert, I've done a few things that were counterintuitive in my life. I've done some things that when somebody later asked me how in the world did I think I could do that, I said, well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be able to do it. But to start a magazine. And when people look in, you know, they walk around in bookstores and newsstands, and they see all the different magazines that are out there, many of them which you see they're here for a year and then they're not there for a year, after a year. You know, my question to you is, Robert, I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking?
I was thinking a number of things. First of all, in the past, I had run, after becoming a CPA, I had run other companies for other people as a CFO. And a CEO, all small businesses. That's my entire background. My entire career has been in small business. And number one, I didn't want to work for anybody anymore. And it was about time that I had fulfilled my dream about starting a new business, or at least tried to start a new business.
That was your first drive, right? You wanted to be on your own.
Right. Then it was a matter of thinking, okay, what do I do? And the way the idea came about was kind of interesting. I wasn't working at the time. I had left my previous company, which was a magazine in the magazine business, but a very different part of it.
So, but you had acquired some publishing, magazine publishing skills and capability there.
A little bit, yeah. Although I really had no idea what I was in for. I had lunch with a friend of mine, and I was also doing a little bit of consulting, which I had always done in between jobs, where I was helping small business with business plans and things like that. And I was like, you know, maybe I should write an article. There's so many things I want to write about. Write an article in a local paper, and that'll get me exposure, and then that'll get me some more consulting gigs. So then I was thinking, you know what? If I do write an article, where am I going to get it published? And I realized there was really no medium for small business in the New York area. Yet, of course, there's hundreds of thousands of small businesses. And the idea just hit me right then and there. I said, that's what I'm going to do. And it, in a way, it was. Serendipitous in that I always loved small business, and I always loved reading magazines. I've been reading magazines. I've been reading Inc. probably since I was a kid when my dad was getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was just the best of all the worlds, and I had the confidence, and I had a little bit of money saved up, and then I just went for it.
But did you not say, wait a minute, you know, this is a quick road to failure if I'm not careful. I mean, this is the magazine publishing industry is a tough industry.
Well, first of all, I realized there was a chance I can fail, but I didn't, and I knew how hard the magazine business was. Actually, now that you bring that up, Jim, reminds me when I was in business school, I actually wrote a business plan for a magazine that some friends of mine had started up in L.A.,
uh-huh.
Which the magazine never went anywhere, but we actually won our school competition, beating out a company called Stamps.com. So it goes to show you what those competitions are worth. At some point, were worth over $1 billion.
Yeah.
This thing never went anywhere.
But, exactly. Stand by, Robert. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Robert Levin. Sure. He's the publisher of New York Enterprise Report, which is an outstanding magazine I'm a happy subscriber of. 20 Till, stay with us. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. Welcome back.
Waiting for the
little Chicago for you there. But that's the Second City band. We got a man from the first city, New York City. Robert Levin's with us. Robert's a friend of mine and a new friend of yours. He's a publisher and a founder of the New York Enterprise Report, which is an outstanding business magazine that you don't have to be in New York or in the tri-state area to appreciate this magazine. I'd encourage any of you to check it out. And Robert, what do we got to do to subscribe?
Well, we've just actually started limiting subscriptions for the print magazine to the tri-state area. But with the all of our articles are available on the web.
Come on, if I got listeners all over the country, won't you let them in?
I'll tell you what, I'll open the curtains for a couple days.
All right, folks.
Because I would love to have your listeners.
What does it take to subscribe?
It's a controlled circulation. It's free, so all you have to do is qualify by having a decision maker type title, which is
right.
Virtually any title.
Right.
And just go to nyreport.com/subscribe, and you can subscribe to the magazine.
All right. Now, I'm going to want to talk to you about that business model in a little bit, because that's an important one. But now, give us the website again.
nyreport.com, and to subscribe, you can go to nyreport.com/subscribe.
Okay, but they can find basically what's in the magazine online, though, right?
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
So folks, I hope you check that out, folks, and take advantage of my prevailing upon Robert to let some of you subscribe to his print magazine. Robert, let's get back to where you were. I want you to talk some more about the founding of your company and what you were thinking, because we've got a lot of folks listening right now who are where you were. They're where you were 2 years ago.
Right.
And they're trying to decide what to do. And then there are people who are where you are right now, and they're nodding their head. They understand what you went through.
Right. Well, I had to take a look at the market, and from the reader perspective, well, what I saw was in my experience having worked with a lot of different small business owners, that in a small business you really need a couple of things for the most part. You need money, which is something I couldn't help them with. And then you need expertise, which is something I did think I could help them with, because I had a Rolodex of all these people I had worked with over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So in a small business, you really don't have, you usually don't have a CFO, a vice president of marketing, in-house counsel, vice president of operations, et cetera. But yet you're facing all of those challenges. And I thought, well, if we can have experts write articles, not journalists, but experts, people who are working with mm-hmm. businesses on a day-to-day basis, write articles on all of these things, I thought it would really help small businesses, because that's essentially what I was doing as a consultant. So I saw the need from that perspective. At the same time, I realized that there were a lot of businesses, large and small, that were marketing their products and services to small businesses. Yet, you know, while we have a local business journal here, Cranes, which is a terrific weekly that covers the news, nobody was really focused just on small business. They're focused on New York business in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw an opportunity also to tap into the advertising market.
Well, you may have seen what I've seen before, where a lot of the major media outlets think that when they say, okay, now for the Small Business Report, they go to the NASDAQ.
Right, which of course, you know, as far as we're concerned, is really not small business.
It's not small business at all. And if you if you're publicly traded, I'm sorry, I don't consider you to be a small business. If you got to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley, I promise you, you're not a small business.
Right. Although interesting, there are a number of small businesses that are private that have to comply because
you're right.
Buy larger businesses.
You're right. But even that's true. But anyway, back to your story.
So I saw the need from both the reader side and the advertiser side, you know, you mentioned business model. Do you know a guy named Norman Brodsky? He writes for Inc. magazine.
Mm-hmm. I know of him.
He writes the Street Smarts column.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had always been a fan of his, and I actually went to see him when I had the idea. And I was telling him I had this idea, and he goes, "Well, how much are you going to sell subscriptions for?" And I said, "I don't know, $20, $30 a year." And he said, "How much money do you have to launch this?" I said, "You know, like low six figures." He said, "You're going to be out of business in less than a year." And it was a real blow to my ego because essentially what he was saying is if you go in the paid subscription model, you just don't have enough money in the bank to go forward. And you know, mm-hmm. what you were saying in terms of business, magazines closing and new ones opening up, usually
right.
by big companies. Typically, when you launch a magazine, you got millions of dollars that you're going to spend on direct mail to get
right.
the subscribers. And clearly, I didn't have that. So, like I said, it was a big blow to my ego in that I really felt that the content of the magazine was so spectacular that there's no question people will write a check for $20 or $30 for a subscription. But the reality is that while I can have a great product, that doesn't necessarily mean people are going to buy it and write a check out, and that I have the wherewithal to get the word out to enough people to get...
Mm-hmm.
20,000, 30,000.
That was the question. It wasn't a question. And what he was telling you, I think, was it's not a matter of whether you were making a great product, but you didn't have enough money to get the word out to people who could write you the checks.
Jim, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
So
you didn't see that at first, did you?
I didn't even come close to seeing it. I had my business plan, and I did my model in Excel like anybody else, and it showed me making money in a couple of years. But
mm-hmm.
you know, these are just numbers on a spreadsheet. It's not reality. And I learned, and I'm lucky enough that I went to see Norman
right.
early on, and he really talked me out of it. 2 days later, my model was a free subscription model.
Mm-hmm.
Carried
but,
by advertising.
But now people are asking, a lot of people who don't understand this business are saying, how could you, if you couldn't survive charging for it, can you survive not charging for it? Tell us how that works.
That's a really good question. And when you put it that way, it kind of makes me scratch my head.
But, I want you to hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you tell us on the other side of these messages. We're
okay.
going to take a quick break because this is our business model. We got to sell some stuff. Tintel, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our friend, Robert Levin. It's 7 till. I'm Jeff Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with my old friend and your new friend, Robert Levin, who's the founder of the New York Enterprise Report, which is an outstanding magazine that's focused on small business, which is near and dear to my heart. And Robert, I've been following you. You and I made contact back when you first got this thing off the ground, and we talked a little bit. I hope I encouraged you. I think I did. And I just want you to know that I'm really proud of what you've accomplished.
Thanks, Jim. It means a lot. You definitely did encourage me, and also looking to see somebody else, an independent, if you will, doing something in a similar vein. Was very encouraging, too.
Well, I'm sure you probably said, how part of the encouragement was, you probably said, you know, if Blasingame can do what he's doing, I can do anything.
Well, you got to remember, Jim, at that point, you were doing it, and I was thinking of it, so that's the way I looked at it.
Well, good. Let's get back. You were talking about your business model, and I was asking you, you know, your mentor. And by the way, I had some of those aha moments too. I can literally think back on two or three times where I had something in my mind, and I climbed up on a mountaintop and talked to a sage, and he or she said, hey, you know, what about this? What about that? And I remember thinking,
You know, at the moment, it hit me like a ton of bricks. But, you know, the next day, I said, you know what? He was right. And I had to look at something a different way. And that's what happened to you. But you actually said, okay, if I can't make it with people giving me money, with subscribers giving me money, I'm going to make it without them giving me money. I'm going to give it away to them. So tell us how that works.
Well, first of all, giving something away for free is not always easy, and especially because people then tend to associate a low value with it.
Right.
And especially, you still need a budget. You still need a marketing plan to give something away for free, especially if you want people to request a magazine, which was very important to me. I didn't want it appearing in people's mailboxes. So what one of the ways I looked at hitting the market was working with business organizations like chambers of commerce, industry groups, et cetera.
Very smart.
And to date, we now have about 70 of those relationships, and that grows probably every couple of weeks or so.
Congratulations. See, what you did is you went where the people are, and that's what a lot of people don't get. They don't get a lot of people who try to market to small business try to market to them like they're consumers, and they're not like consumers, are they?
No, not at all. And they certainly get lumped in that category, and I still haven't been able to figure it out.
Yeah.
Not only did I go after them because that's where they were, but that's also the type of person I wanted to meet. I divide small business owners into three categories. The first is people who really don't care if they grow. The second, probably the largest, is people who say they want to grow but really don't do anything about it. And then the third is those who want to grow and take active steps to grow their business.
So I think that's a good distinction.
They listen to your show, they join their local chamber or other business organization, they go to business events, and that's really, you know, two out of those things is really the main part of our marketing plan. We have these relationships with a lot of different business organizations. We get the magazines out at trade shows, and we try to tell the not only trade shows, but all types of business events, whoever's producing the event, we say, look, don't put them in a stack. If you're going to put them in a stack, I'm not going to give them to you. Hand-deliver them to them at registration. And when I can, I go to these events myself and say a couple things about the magazine.
And that's how you justify your ad dollars, which is what pays the freight, right? The ad dollars.
That's what lights on.
And because your business model includes not just putting them in a rack and hoping people will take them off of them, you're able to tell your advertisers, when we distribute our magazine, it goes to somebody who wants it, and it's been put in the hands of somebody who wants it.
That's exactly right.
And that adds value to the advertiser when they think about how their ads are doing there.
Yep. I mean, we still have a lot of our challenges. You know, there are a lot of alternatives here in New York, even though they're not specifically for the small business market. They're, you know, if you think about it, we're dealing a lot now with ad agencies, and a lot of times, unfortunately, they take the safe road, which is the tried and true. So it's the Business Journal, it's some of the local papers, et cetera. But we're making some progress.
Well, you've got some good advertisers already, and we have to wrap it up, Robert, but I want to say how proud I am of you for what you've accomplished, and I'm looking forward to whatever I can do in the future to helping you, and I'm looking forward to getting you back on the show. We got some more things to talk about.
We have a lot more to talk about. I can't wait to you, so whenever you're ready, just let me know. I'll be there.
Give us the website one more time. Folks, check this website out, please.
NYReport.com.
NYReport.com. I hope you'll go there and check it out, folks. You'll benefit from it, I promise you, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Thanks, Robert. See you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.